Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few moments, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. That's right, The Flatline, F-L-O-T. That's the name of the show, Flat, F-L-O-T. This show is about 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and it's all done with no manipulation because we don't have hidden agendas. No one's trying to get you to join anything. We're not asking you for any money. We're not trying to sell you anything or hustle. We're just trying to give you accurate information. Information that can be verified and identified from the scriptures as the Word of God. And if we can do that, then you can orient and adjust at your leisure. That's up to you. But my job is to get it accurate and give it to you accurately so that you at least know what your choices are. We have a saying here on the Flatline, bad decisions limit future options. Bad decisions limit future options. And if you make enough bad decisions, you wind up with no options left. So hopefully the information that I give you from the Scripture, from the Word of God, will help you understand your choices in life and understand how you can make the best decisions that will help you as you move through life. And it's all from the Bible, from the Word of God. Again, this is not some human viewpoint, not some sort of human speculation. This is accurate information from the Bible. We call our show The Flatline, and you may wonder why. It is a military term, FLOT, F-L-O-T. That stands for Forward Line of Troops. And what we're doing is making a military analogy. We're using this term to show how the Christian life functions and how it works. This is not unusual. The Bible does it in many cases where, for example, the Apostle Paul talks about putting on the armor of God so that you can stand against the strategy of Satan. You remember that in Ephesians 6. Pick up the sword of the Spirit, put on the breastplate of righteousness, remember? Where he compared the Christian life to a Roman soldier and the paraphernalia that he wore into combat. So we are in combat. We are in an invisible war, a spiritual war. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we must be prepared. Thus, the information that I'm going to give you pertains to 10 unique problem-solving devices. These 10 unique problem-solving devices are nothing new. This is not some recent discovery. We're not trying to sell you a book about this. We do have a book about it, and it's free. Absolutely, you can have it, but this is old-time Bible doctrine. This has been around ever since the Word of God was recorded and made available to each of us. These 10 unique problem-solving devices are essentially what power the Christian life. You see, the Christian life is essentially a supernatural life, and it requires a supernatural power to live it. Now, a lot of people that are not Christians are nice people, kind, giving people, just like Christians can be. But that is not the Christian life. The Christian life is the life that Jesus Christ himself verified and identified and left for us. It is the life that he lived while he was here. He was empowered in an unbelievable way by means of God the Holy Spirit and by means of his Father's Word. And as a human, when our Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, he demonstrated to the disciples that in his absence, they could live equally as he lived if they deployed the same tactics, if they used the same advantages. Therefore, for example, we have this passage in John chapter 16. Nevertheless, Jesus told the disciples, I tell you the truth. It is for your advantage that I leave you, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter, we know that to be the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ went on to say, of sin, because they believe not in me. Essentially, that's the sin that sends anyone to hell, to reject Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believes not, the wrath of God abides on him already. So it's not drinking, it's not gambling, it's not fornicating. That's not what sends people to hell. What sends people to hell is they reject the forgiveness that God offered through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When they reject that, they fail to believe in him. They don't believe that he is the Savior, the Son of God. The verse goes on to say in verse 10 of John 16, of righteousness, this is the Holy Spirit's job, because I go to my Father and you will see me no more, and of judgment, because the prince of this world, a.k.a. the devil or Satan, is judged already. So he's already been evaluated. He's already been judged. He's already sentenced to the lake of fire. And I assure you, he does not want to go there. And he will use you, me, or anyone else to stop that from ever happening as he seeks to vindicate his name and to relieve himself of the judgment that God has placed upon him. And so here's our Lord Jesus Christ talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring them to your remembrance, whatever I've said unto you. Again, Jesus spoke of the Comforter. In our first radio show, we talked about the most essential doctrine that anyone could ever understand. Any Christian that doesn't understand this doctrine will never effectively live the Christian life. We call that doctrine rebound. Rebound means we confess our sin to God. When a Christian bounces out of fellowship with God, he grieves the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he quenches the Holy Spirit. But he also has the opportunity to rebound. Rebound, as taught in 1 John 1:9, says if we confess our sin, then he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. So rebound is me going to God and admitting my sin. We talked about that on our last radio show. What rebound does, essentially, is guarantees me that I'm back under control of God the Holy Spirit. You see, as a Christian, I can live my life one of two ways. I can live my life under the power of the flesh, or I can live my life under the filling of the Holy Spirit. If I live my life under the power of the flesh, I will not be able to tap into my divine resources. I will not be able to utilize the power that God's made available to me. But if I live it under the filling of the Holy Spirit, then indeed I shall be able to use all of the resources that I have. Essentially, no one can worship God effectively without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully to John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And thus the need for the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is clear about the Word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 11, your word have I hid in my heart, so I might not sin against you. If you take the Word of God and you take the Holy Spirit, those are your two operational assets. Those are the two things that you need to grow in grace and to glorify God to the maximum. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 is the warning. Do not quench the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 is the warning. Do not grieve the Spirit. And thus we see that as a Christian, the only way that I can effectively live the Christian life is under the maneuverability, under the filling, under the control of God the Holy Spirit. If I try to live it any other way, it's not going to work. Thus, we must understand the filling of the Holy Spirit. We must understand what it means to be a Spirit-filled Christian. So let me say this carefully. The moment you're saved, God the Holy Spirit indwells you. Ephesians 1:12 and 13 says you are sealed by means of the Holy Spirit until the day of evaluation. Until the day that Jesus Christ comes to get you back. So he sealed you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And the Holy Spirit's job is also to fill you. To fill you. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Bible says you're spiritual. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says you're carnal. What keeps me from being filled with the Holy Spirit? Sin in my life keeps me from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when I sin, I'm out of fellowship with God. And the second problem-solving device will not work. Rebound is the first problem-solving device, and it guarantees the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's how I handle the problem of my sin. And then the filling of the Holy Spirit is the second problem-solving device, and it's how I live the Christian life in the power of God the Holy Spirit, not in the energy of the flesh. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, we have been given the Spirit of God so that we may know the things that God has provided for us and we may know them freely. And so God has designed a protocol plan, a plan that we must live under, a plan that assures that as a Christian we glorify him to the maximum. And it is beginning with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is critical, because if you ask someone about the Holy Spirit, a lot of people will roll their eyes to heaven. They will begin to look for a tambourine and something to beat upon. And they'll get this glossy look on their face and no telling what they might do. Some people do indeed teach that the filling of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with the Christian life, but that it's a later induced second miracle or second blessing that comes to you. However, that is not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is the Holy Spirit fills you the moment you're saved. He indwells you the moment you're saved. He seals you the moment you're saved. He gives you your spiritual gift the moment you're saved. And he places you into union with Christ the very moment that you're saved. But the very moment you sin your first sin, you don't lose the indwelling. You don't lose the sealing. You don't lose your spiritual gift. You don't lose being placed in union with Christ. But yes, you lose the filling. You quench the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit. And you cannot live the Christian life without His power. Any kind of power apart from that of the Holy Spirit is just human good. All of this is seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at the judgment seat of Christ. It's critical that we understand that. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, all of our energy and all of our efforts for God are manifested. Listen as I read what Paul wrote. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation for a house is a concrete foundation. And so the concreters come in, lay the foundation, the house is built on the foundation. That's the analogy here. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, everyone will know it. Not your sin. Keep that in mind. Every man's work. It didn't say sin. It says ergon. Ergon, your production. Every man's work will be made manifest. The day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's production, every man's work, of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he has built upon, he will receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But, and listen carefully, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Now what this is talking about is the energy of the flesh versus the power of the Holy Spirit. Anything done for God in the energy of the flesh is wood, hay, and stubble. Anything done for God in the power of the Holy Spirit is gold, silver, and precious stones. That's rewardable. The other things are not. Why is that? Because God demands protocol. That simply indicates that a right thing must be done in a right way. A right thing done in a wrong way is wrong. I will give you an illustration. Is it wrong to pray? The answer is no. Is there a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray? The answer is yes. So if you violate protocol, in other words, if you pray, but you pray in the wrong way, prayer will not be answered. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I'm going to pray with unconfessed sin in my life, the prayer is not going to go any higher than the ceiling. So on Sunday morning, the pastor stands up at the pulpit and he asks Deacon A to come have the opening prayer. But Deacon A has a problem with Deacon B, can't stand him. Deacon B shafted him in a business deal one time, and he hates his guts. He won't speak to him, he won't look at him, and any time he gets a chance, he says rotten things about him. So Deacon A gets up and prays a marvelous, wonderful, eloquent-sounding prayer, but it goes no higher than the ceiling because he's out of fellowship with God. He has quenched the Holy Spirit. He has grieved the Holy Spirit. And the prayer that he's offering is being offered in the energy of the flesh. If Deacon A gives money to the offering plate, it's just wood, hay, and stubble. The prayer is just wood, hay, and stubble. If he decides to go visiting on visitation night, wood, hay, and stubble. See, anything you do as a Christian that is not under the power of God the Holy Spirit is energy of the flesh or wood, hay, and stubble. And it all comes up at the judgment seat of Christ. Not your sins. Your sins were paid for. Your sins will never be issued, put upon you. Christ paid for those on the cross. They will not be an issue for you in the future. They were an issue on the cross. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He paid for our sin. But what you will be evaluated upon is, did you fulfill the plan of God for your life? Did you live it under the energy of the flesh, or did you live it under the filling of the Holy Spirit? Because without the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's just wood, hay, and stubble. Now, I'm not going to attempt to unravel all the confusion that surrounds that phrase, the filling of the Holy Spirit. But my emphasis has been to show you what I believe the Bible teaches regarding this. And I hope you will allow God the Holy Spirit to control your life every day. Jesus our Lord taught this when he left the earth, that he was going to send his Spirit. I read you that. And it is this Holy Spirit that Jesus talks about, that's given to us the moment of our salvation. I read you that, Ephesians 1:13. And you may want to understand another passage in 1 Corinthians 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which belongs to God. So the Holy Spirit is God's signature guarantee. It is his seal that you belong to him. In Ephesians 5:18, we are told directly, be filled with the Spirit. How do I become a Spirit-filled Christian? Anytime I use problem-solving device, number one. Anytime I rebound my known sin to God, I am cleansed of sin, and I am filled with the Spirit. Anytime I knowingly sin, or unknowingly, doesn't make any difference. Sin is sin. Anytime I sin, I quench the Holy Spirit, and I grieve the Holy Spirit. And even though I'm a Christian, I move back under the energy of the flesh. You see, some people may say, well, how can I confess a sin that I don't even know is sin? How's that possible? Listen to the verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all wrongdoing. That's even the ones that you don't know are sin. No one can keep up with every sin, but certain sins that God the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, when you know you've done them, you go to God the Father immediately and you admit that sin. Don't hide it. Don't cover it up like David did in Psalm 32, verses 4 and 5. He talks about it. He used the rebound technique as well. But he was not under the filling of the Holy Spirit like you and I are. See, believers in the Old Testament were endued with the Spirit. We are under the filling of the Holy Spirit. They could lose the Holy Spirit, but we don't. We have that guarantee according to Ephesians 1:12 and 13. And so the filling of the Holy Spirit is essential. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. You can either allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, or you can take control yourself, and you can follow the desires of your sinful nature. There's no in-between. And so at any moment of this day, you will either be filled with the Holy Spirit and spiritual, or you will be under control of your flesh and carnal. They are absolute. There is no in-between. You know, some of the greatest preachers in the world, for example, some of the greatest evangelists, those men that you respect, if they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're spiritual. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're spiritual. They are not any more spiritual than you. They may be more mature than you. They may have more content of the Word of God in their soul than you, but they are not more spiritual than you. Anyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit is spiritual, and any Christian who's not filled with the Holy Spirit is carnal. He's in the flesh. See, there's a war that goes on. And Paul said it himself in Romans 7:15. He said, I don't understand myself at all because I want to do what's right and I inevitably do what's wrong. He said, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me is sin. Read it for yourself, Romans 7:15, 16, 17. See the battle that Paul wrote about when he said, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. They're contrary to the other. Read about it in Galatians. Paul lays it out for you. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit if you ever want to grow in grace. You cannot become a mature believer without the filling of the Holy Spirit. And combine that with the content of the Word of God in your soul. When you have the content of the Word of God in your soul, and when you have the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you have the ability to apply the information. You have the ability to use the doctrine that you've learned application-wise and put it to use in your life. You cannot put the Word of God to use in the energy of the flesh. You cannot live the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. It won't work. Yes, you can go to church. Yes, you can pray in public. Yes, you can tithe. Yes, you can sing in the choir. Yes, you can go on mission trips. But it will all be energy of the flesh, and it will be evaluated and determined to be wood, hay, and stubble. It will all be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, you did all the right things. But you did them in the wrong way. You did them in the energy of the flesh. Go back. Evaluate your life right now. Look back and see in your own life, did you do those things in the energy of the flesh? Or did you do them under the filling of the Holy Spirit? As you prepare for church today, don't walk in that church out of fellowship with God. No one can tell that you're carnal. The pastor can't tell it. The congregation can't tell it, but God can. God knows because He can see the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And if you walk in that church not filled with the Holy Spirit, having not rebounded, then you're violating protocol. And you may hear a great sermon, but you won't get it. You won't be able to apply it. You won't understand it because you short-circuited the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's His job to take what that pastor brings to you and to make it spiritually discernible. In other words, how do you apply it to your life? But without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. You can't make it spiritually discernible through the energy of the flesh. And you will never grow up through the energy of the flesh. And even though you will be a nod to Godder, you won't be a mature believer. You'll be a caricature of Christ, not an imitator of Christ. You'll be a caricature of Christ. Oh, you won't even look like Him. But you'll go to church, and you'll sing in the choir, and you'll play the routine, go through the game, all in the energy of the flesh. So that's your option. Without the rebound technique, problem-solving device number one, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, you will not be empowered to live the Christian life. So that word foundation that we read to you earlier in 1 Corinthians 3, building your home on that foundation, listen, at the judgment seat of Christ, all those works will be burned up, but the foundation will still be there. You're going to heaven, but you're going to heaven minus rewards. The filling of the Holy Spirit will guarantee you that you can produce divine good. Good that is acceptable to God, and good that will glorify Him, and you will be living the protocol plan of God. Satan's able to produce good, you know. It's called evil. It's the counterfeit of the real thing. Counterfeit righteousness is called good, and it is nothing. It means nothing. It's all counterfeit. It's evil. It's a reproduction of the real thing. You want to have the real thing? Then believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and live under the filling of the Holy Spirit and take God's Word and learn it and use it and grow in grace and become the man or become the woman that God intended for you to be. But without learning, without executing the Christian life, you will build nothing for future except wood, hay, and stubble. This is your host, Rick Hughes. saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I would like to invite you to listen up, your area's newest talk radio show. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, and it will be done with no manipulation. We don't sell things. We're not trying to hustle any money out of you. We're not asking you to join up, to fess up, to give up, nothing like that. This show is simply about giving you accurate information. Information that is designed to help you verify and hopefully identify the plan of God for your life. And if you can do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But no ranting and no raving, no crazy carrying on here. Just me talking to you. Just this monologue of me talking to you. And if you'll stick with me as we begin to develop these radio shows, I hope we'll be here for a long time. Not just the few weeks, the 5 weeks we've been here at this time, but much more. And if you'll stick with me, you're going to learn some things. We call our show the Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flot, and that stands for the Forward Line of Troops. It's a military analogy. And what we're doing is using a military analogy to describe how the Christian life works. The Flotline is a main line of resistance that the military establishes whenever they go into a foreign battle arena. What I'm going to try to show you, it's how you can establish a main line of resistance in your soul that can stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside sources of stress. With the concept that adversity is inevitable and stress is optional, you can learn to use God's resources, 10 unique problem-solving devices. These are nothing new. This is not some new discovery. This is not something we're trying to sell you on. These are age-old biblical doctrines that have always been there since the canon of Scripture was formulated and put into print. I may say it in a way you've never heard it said before, and I hope that's the case, so that you'll be able to understand it like you've never understood it before. But if, in fact, you are a Christian, if, in fact, you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity to live the most unbelievable life the world has ever known. It's called the Christian life. It's a life with no more worry. It's a life where you never have to be afraid. It's a life where you have complete happiness and also complete understanding of what's coming down the pipe. When you have divine viewpoint, when you understand life from God's perspective, then you never have to be bitter. You never have to be angry. You never have to be lonely. You never have to have any of these things. If you live the Christian life, it is a supernatural life, and it requires a supernatural power. You cannot live the Christian life under your own power, under your own dynamics. You must use the power of God. And you have been given two things. You have been given God the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said that he would send once he left. And you have been given a canon of Scripture, a Bible, the Word of God, and it's said to be alive and powerful, sharper than even a two-edged sword. And so here you have your divine resources. You have God the Holy Spirit, and you have the Bible. When you take these two divine resources and learn them, then you can understand what Jesus told the woman in Luke 11:37-38, when he said, "Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it." Who hear my Father's word and keep it. These 10 unique problem-solving devices start out with problem-solving device number one, and that's the Rebound problem-solving device. Rebound is simply another word for how you regain fellowship with God once you break fellowship with God. You see, when you sin, you don't lose your salvation. If that's so, you'd have to be saved about 9 million times. Because if you got up at 8:05 and went to work and sinned before you got there, and now you're lost again, then you'd have to get saved again. You see, that's crazy. So Jesus Christ said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, and neither shall any man ever pluck them out of my Father's hand." So it's not something that God's going to take away from you when you committed a sin, or when someone decided that that particular sin was worse than any of the other sins that you've done. What sin does is it breaks fellowship with God. And we are mandated in the Bible not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. We're told not to quench the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to us. It's the empowerment that Jesus Christ gave us. It's what allows us to see things from the divine perspective, and the one who gives us the ability to live the unique Christian life. You can shut off his power. You can quench him, just like taking a garden hose and bending it in the middle so the water doesn't come out. Sin does that to the Holy Spirit. And when you do not deal with the sin, then you may be doing all the right things, like going to church, but you may be doing it in all the wrong ways, like in the energy of the flesh. You see, a person that is a Christian can get sin into their life and not deal with it, and yet still go to church, still sing in the choir, still do whatever. Looks like he's doing the right things, smells like he's doing the right things, but he's doing the right things in the wrong way. You must be controlled by God the Holy Spirit to produce divine good assets. And those divine good assets show up in 1 Corinthians 3, at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're known to be gold, silver, and precious stones. And the assets that are human good, well, they're known to be wood, hay, and stubble. So I'm talking about a future judgment in the time and eternity when we, each Christian, will be evaluated on the basis of our production, not our sin, in 1 Corinthians 3. So Rebound is essential. When I know I've sinned, I rebound. I confess my sin as per 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all the wrongdoing, even the ones I don't remember. But it's critical that I must keep a very short account of sin in my life, whether it's a mental attitude sin, whether it's a sin of the tongue, or whether it's an overt sin. I must admit it to God and not hide it. In Psalm 32:4-5, the psalmist hid it. And he said he almost dried up and he died. But when he confessed his sin, then his life returned to him. See, God has set up a system of discipline for us. Hebrews 12:6-11 talks about how he disciplines those that he loves. When we sin, we don't name the sin, deal with the sin, then we submit ourselves to warning discipline, eventually intensive discipline, and maybe eventually, if not dealt with, going home discipline, dying discipline. They're all taught in the Bible. And so Rebound is critical if you're going to live the Christian life. You must learn to check yourself every day. Am I in fellowship or am I out of fellowship? How would you know? Is there any unconfessed sin in my life? Just simply ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Is there stuff here, Father, that is wrong that I haven't dealt with? And if he shows you, then admit it. Tell him. Tell him exactly what it is. And he'll be faithful and just to forgive you. That's the first problem-solving device. When you do that, that allows the Holy Spirit to control you, and that's the second problem-solving device. See, you're either controlled by your old sin nature, or you're controlled by God the Holy Spirit. They're not both in control at the same time. So the Bible says the flesh wars against the Spirit, that's the old sin nature, and the Spirit wars against the flesh, that's the Holy Spirit. So at any one time in your life, you may feel like a nut and you may not. Whichever one is controlling you, that's the one you're under the influence of. And what the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18 is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is for you to be a spiritual Christian, not a carnal Christian, not a fleshly Christian, but a spiritual Christian. And a spiritual Christian is simply a Christian who is controlled by God the Holy Spirit. Now, that is not a mature Christian. A mature Christian is a Christian that's controlled by God the Holy Spirit and has a maximum amount of resources in his soul, or the Word of God. As the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or as the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two mandates, study and grow. Two. And you cannot ever live the Christian life if you don't study and grow. We start out as baby Christians, and God wants us to become mature Christians so that we can replicate the life of Christ, so that we can represent Christ to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors. And the only way we can do that is to grow and to acquire the mind of Christ. How do you acquire the mind of Christ? Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:3 says, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. The New Testament is the mind of Christ. We have it. When we learn it and live by it, then we begin to replicate Christ. That's our job. Now, one of the essential doctrines that you must know, something that he used in Matthew 4, is the problem-solving device of called faith rest drill. The faith rest drill. Now keep this in mind. Jesus Christ our Lord never needed to rebound because he never sinned. But he did have to operate under the filling of the Holy Spirit, just like you and me. Remember that he was the God-man, undiminished deity, true humanity, in one body, forever now. But as God, he never used his own powers to sustain himself. He did use his power to heal people, deliver people from the dead, but not to sustain himself. And you have the same power he had, God the Holy Spirit. Thus, you can utilize the Holy Spirit just like he did. And he knew his Father's word. He quoted it all the time. And you can use the word too to stay strong like he did. Remember this. We have been given the Spirit of God so that we may know the things God has provided for us freely. 1 Corinthians 2:12. So every problem we face, every one of them was known by God in eternity past. And he alone provided the solution for every problem that we have. That's why we say adversity is inevitable and stress is optional. But remember this as well, please. There's a word called protocol. It sounds like a fancy word, but it just simply means a right thing must be done in a right way. When we deal with God or address God, there is protocol. In the Old Testament, there was protocol. In the New Testament, there's protocol. It simply says a right thing must be done in a right way. That means that unless you are operating under the filling of the Holy Spirit, and unless you are establishing the principles for your life based on the Scriptures, then you are not following protocol. So the protocol of faith rest is essential. It's critical. So let's get a few points on faith rest drill. Problem-solving device number 3. By the way, we have all these in a small booklet, and it's free of charge. If you'd like to have it, just write to us and ask for it. It's free. We'll send it to you. Never done you for any money or not ever send you anything else. Just give you those that little book on the 10 problem-solving devices if you want it. So here we go. 1. To crack the sound barrier requires excessive speed, but to crack the faith barrier requires you to stand absolutely still. In Exodus 14:13, the Bible says, "Stand still and watch what God is about to do." Those are the words of Moses to the Jews that exited out of Egypt, and the Pharaoh was chasing them and had them backed up against the Red Sea, and it looked like they were going to die. Stand still. Watch what God's about to do. So faith rest, number 1, says you stand still, standing on the promises of God. 2, there's no work and no movement involved, nothing at all. Just believe it and trust it and keep on believing and trusting and waiting on the Lord. And there is no problem you've ever had that God is not aware of. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He tells you this. And he tells you there's a way out of everything. So 3, if you trusted in Jesus Christ to save you, which I assume you've done. If not, I hope you will. I hope you will make the most important decision of your life to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. As the Bible says, to as many as believe in him, to them gave he right to become the sons of God. You enter the royal family of God by believing in Christ Jesus and receiving him as your Savior. And so if you trusted in Christ to save you, that is the biggest event in your life. So now, if you trusted in him, if you believe that he took your place on the cross, if you believe that, can you now trust him for the everyday needs, the everyday difficulties, the everyday problems that you will now face? Can you trust him to handle those things as well? 4, are there real answers for all the heartaches, for all the problems, for all the adversities, all the frustrations, all the difficulties? Are there real answers? And the answer is yes. Yes, there are. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have trials, tribulation, trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." So, point 5, salvation, becoming a Christian, in other words, it not only means you're going to go to heaven, but that you now have the means to stabilize your thinking and to meet every problem and every difficulty with a complete relaxed mental attitude or tranquility. So, point 6, it's only when you're in a place of hopelessness and helplessness that you can see the extraordinary power and grace of God at work. You know, when there's no human solution, when you're numb from the shock or the pressure, and you can't even see how to pray or know how to pray, Romans 8:26 says that's when the Holy Spirit can intercede for you in prayer. So point 7, it's only in the desperate situation that you can avail yourself to God's perfect provisions and enter into God's perfect rest. The perfect rest is the faith rest drill, standing on the promises of God, using them as a shield to ward off the trials, the adversities, the trouble that Satan throws your way. You know, and it's not just Satan. 99% of the trouble that we face is self-induced. We cause it ourselves. We mismanage our money, we mismanage our health, we mismanage our relationships. So we have to learn how to deal with these problems that we create. Or they overwhelm us with guilt. They overwhelm us with worry. They overwhelm us with doubt and fear. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not be afraid. I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." In 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you." In Psalm 55:22, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved." In Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding," that's human viewpoint, "in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." So God has a moment by moment promises and a rest for you. He puts us into places of testing to see if we will believe that, if we will trust him. So what is the strength in the Christian's life? It's God the Holy Spirit. It's God's Bible or God's Word. And it's you standing still and using those promises, using God's gracious provisions, standing firm behind the shield of faith. Ephesians 6 says, "Pick up the shield of faith in order that you may ward off the fiery darts of the wicked one." That's you mixing the promises of God with your faith. You see, the most difficult stage for the Christian to achieve is being happy. Happiness, there is a problem-solving device called Plus H, sharing the happiness of God, and we'll talk about that as we get to it. But in this world, it's harder to be happy as a Christian than it is to be happy as an unbeliever. Because, number one, their happiness is temporary, and number two, they're not involved in the war that you and I are involved in. They don't have the two things going at war with inside them. They're already enslaved to the flesh. But you have a choice. God gave you a volition. And you can submit to your flesh or you can submit to God the Holy Spirit. It's up to you. Listen to Hebrews 4:2. "The word they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith." The only way the word of God can profit you is you mix it with faith. See, when you hear the word of God, let's say you go to church and you hear your pastor teach a sermon. If you're in fellowship with God, which means you're not quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit, then he can take what that pastor teaches you and cause it to go into your mind so that you can comprehend what you heard. You understand what you heard. It doesn't do you any good at all if you don't take what you heard and apply it into your life. That's why Jesus said, again, I told you earlier, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. There's the application part. And so the promises of God can only profit you when you mix them with faith. And this involves two things. Number one, you got to know them. And number two, you got to believe them. And if you know them and you believe them, then as Hebrews 4:3 says, we have believed and do enter into rest. Rest. God wants you to take it easy. God wants you to have a relaxed mental attitude. It is not to your advantage to be worrying, to be afraid, to be full of guilt or fear or doubt. See, a lot of Christians spend their whole lives seeking that elusive thing they called happiness. It's funny, but they spend money they don't have to buy things they really don't like. That's weird. Because we're all trying to find something that will give us some stimulation, some satisfaction, some blessing to self. The problem is, the more we search for it under our own power, the more elusive it becomes and the more we reject what God really provided for us. God has provided an incredible life for you. And if you learn the faith rest drill and you use it, there is no way the enemy can overtake you. Remember our Lord in Matthew 4 when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the tempter, which was a.k.a. the devil himself, how the Lord quoted Scripture, quoted Scripture, quoted Scripture. Same thing for you. We have to claim the promises of God by faith. Hebrews 3:19 says you cannot enter into God's rest with unbelief. Those promises in the Bible are designed to give you stability and strength. And they're designed to give you the ability to face any situation in your life. So, I mean, a person that's not a Christian, they can have some sort of relative fleeting happiness for the moment, and they depend on some person or something to make them happy. But for you, no, you don't have to have anybody, anything to have the happiness God provided. The perfect peace, the permanent happiness, place of rest called the faith rest drill. And it does not depend on people. It does not depend on circumstances. Every time there's a problem, every time there's a crisis, you must make a simple decision. This way or that way. His way or my way.